you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. I'm sorry we started a few minutes late. Unfortunately, about 5 minutes ago, there were gunshots on Capitol Hill. And so we are in a shelter-in-place situation where the Capitol is locked down, including our offices. This call may be disrupted. If it is, we'll try to reschedule it for later on today or sometime tomorrow. I wanted to give everybody a little bit of a brief history about how we got to where we are in our current shutdown situation. Then I'm going to talk about the current status of where we are in the shutdown and what sort of path forward there may be. I'll spend a minute to talk about my pay because that question has come up from time to time, and then we'll talk about moving forward first, and then we'll have a time for Q&A. A little bit about the history. Back on the reason we are in this situation is under the normal appropriation structure, each House of Congress is supposed to prepare and generate and vote on a number of appropriations bills. Those appropriations bills then go to conference between the Senate and the House, and at that point in time, they're reconciled and then voted on by each House and then sent to the President for signature. Unfortunately, during my time in Congress and during the several years preceding that, this process has not worked very well. We have tried hard the last 2 years to do this through the regular order process, but it hasn't worked, and that's the reason we're here today. The House did a number of appropriations bills, got them through the Appropriations Committee, sent them to the floor, and they were approved. However, the Senate has not done one yet. Usually you try to get them all done before September 30th so that the federal government is funded and operating as normal. On September the 20th, the House determined that the Senate was not going to do any appropriations bills, so we passed a continuing resolution that had a provision that called for Obamacare to be defunded. That bill was debated, I guess, vividly in the Senate is what I'd say. Ted Cruz participated in that process for a while with his 21-hour conversation with the American people about Obamacare. The Senate ultimately voted that down. A few hours later, we sent a second continuing resolution to them that delayed all of Obamacare, left the funding in place for Obamacare, but it delayed Obamacare. When I say it left the funding in place, there's not a line item in the continuing resolution that says funding for Obamacare, but however, the president, under a continuing resolution, reprograms money to be able to implement Obamacare. So there's no explicit funding for Obamacare, but there was no explicit defunding either. So we proposed, again, a continuing resolution to fund the government through December the 15th and to delay all of Obamacare for a year. The Senate voted that down, and we decided, well, let's try another tack. So on Monday evening, we voted for a bill to fully fund the federal government. We went ahead and complied with the Senate's preference for a date, and that was November the 15th, so essentially to fund the government for 6 weeks. However, we had two provisions in there. One was to delay the individual mandate in Obamacare, and that was to match up with what the president had done for the employer mandate. And the second provision that we added was that Congress and the White House would be subject to Obamacare on exactly the same terms as the American people. So, in other words, the president had proposed that Congress receive a subsidy for its coverage under the exchanges. We were saying, no, we should not receive any special treatment whatsoever, nor should the White House. In a late-night vote on Monday night, the Senate rejected that as well. So by about this time, we're close to midnight on Monday, and we go back to the House floor, and we pass another bill that was pretty much the same as the bill right before it. One is fund the government $986.5 billion through the Senate's preferred date of November the 15th, 2013. And then it included our delay for the individual mandate. It included the provision that Congress and the White House be subject to Obamacare, just like the rest of America. We also added a third provision, and that is that we would appoint our negotiators to go to a conference so that the House and the Senate could begin to resolve their differences on this particular continuing resolution. Now, as you see, in each case, the House has tried to provide something for the Senate to sink its teeth into, but in each case, they just gave us an outright rejection and then said, come back with something else. We, unfortunately, by the time we had voted for the last amendment, which was about 12:45 on Tuesday morning, the federal government had shut down. The Senate came in about 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning and voted that particular bill down too. So that's where we are. We remain in a shutdown because of that. Since that time, though, we have had what I would call micro continuing resolutions that we have put in front of the House and then have sent to the Senate. There are five of them at this point. One was for military pay, so that the military would receive their pay in the event of a fiscal disruption of the federal government. That was unanimously passed by the House. It was unanimously passed by the Senate. It has been signed into law by the President as of yesterday. We also passed yesterday a bill to fund the National Institute of Health so that they can continue conducting cancer research, particularly some of the life-saving cancer research that they do for children. We also have passed a bill to keep the Park Service open. I think many of you have seen the news stories and the videos about how the Park Service has barricaded otherwise open plazas like the World War II Memorial and kept our veterans who were on honor flights from being able to access those memorials. We have been particularly tough with the Park Service in terms of going out, cutting those locks off, and letting these men and women who are heroes to access the memorial. We have gone ahead and passed a funding bill, this parks funding bill, so that anybody has access to our federal parks. We also passed a bill to deal with some of the interesting aspects of funding the District of Columbia. For instance, they achieve revenues from a certain number of sources that's really money for the city. We just gave them the ability to be able to use that, even though the rest of the federal government is shut down. We have passed a veterans bill so that the Veterans Administration has money so that it can process claims. Medical activities are still being processed today because the Veterans Administration is always advance funded a year up front. So our military men and women, they're going to VA hospitals, they're getting their care, or going to VA clinics, they're getting their care. What we're trying to do is get the VA claims processing offices back open. Three of those bills have gone to the Senate. Harry Reid has not tabled them. He is just sitting on them at this point. Now, I want to let everybody know what the bid ask is, if you will, so that you know the difference where the Senate is and where the House is. Because if you listen to a lot of reports, you're not going to find out what really the difference is. The Senate has proposed a $986.5 billion continuing resolution that goes through November the 15th. The House's continuing resolution is exactly the same, $986.5 billion that funds 100% of the federal government through November 15th, 2013. In addition, we have a provision to delay the individual mandate, not to shut down Obamacare, not to defund Obamacare, just to say if you're an individual, you're going to get treated on the same basis as the break that the president gave to businesses, to large corporations. That break to be able to delay the the corporate mandate, the employer mandate for a year, was a $14 billion gift to corporate America. What we're proposing is that the rest of America ought to be on the same terms, that the individuals ought to have exactly the same rights that any other American has to delay that mandate. That's all we're asking. The exchanges can still continue to run. People can, if they want to try to sign up today, they can. We're not prohibiting any of that. We're just saying if you don't want to, however, you do not have to. So just want to make that perfectly clear. The second provision that we have as part of ours is that if you're a member of Congress, or if you're the president or the vice president, or if you're a member of the cabinet or an appointed official, senior appointed official, you have to be part of Obamacare and you get no federal subsidy whatsoever. Again, just like the rest of America. So those are the things we're trying to do. I want everybody to be clear about what the differences are. It's those two provisions. Plus, we've appointed our negotiators and asked to go to conference. With respect to my pay, I think everybody knows that members of Congress get paid $174,000 a year gross. My pay, after this shutdown is done, I will calculate the number of days' pay that I had, and I have planned to donate it to the U.S. Treasury to the Federal Debt Retirement Fund. I've had some people say, suggest other charities. What I may do is put something on social media and say, why don't you vote? Do you vote for Federal Treasury debt reduction, or would you rather me give it to Wounded Warriors or something like that? So we'll go from there, but I'm not keeping it. As long as the federal employees are not being paid, then I should not be paid either. I've also signed on to a bill that, excuse me, I've signed on to a bill where I don't get paid, I mean that nobody in Congress should get paid, or the president or vice president, in a situation where we have a fiscal disruption to the federal government. Looking forward, I can't tell you the direction we're going to go. I will tell you that 2 weeks from today, we have been told by the Treasury Department we are going to hit the federal debt limit. And so based on what I see at this point, I think we will wind up merging this set of discussions into a broader discussion about how we deal with the debt ceiling and how do we deal with the debt ceiling in such a way where ultimately our goal is we don't have to have any more debt ceiling votes because the budget is ultimately balanced somewhere down the road. I don't know, you know, that's going to be a fairly tough discussion, but we'll go for it. In the meantime, we will have these calls available for you from time to time. Andre and our press team will send you notices and you can participate. We always remain available to if you want to call us and set up an ad hoc interview. We've done that with several of you, and we offer you all of you that as we go forward. So, operator, with that, I'd like to open the floor up for questions. I'd ask you, when you have a question, state your name and tell me your question.
Christina Pena, your line is open.
Hi, it's Christina Pena. I work for the Pflugerville Flag. During your last telephone town hall, you asked your constituents if they would want a government shutdown. I was just wondering if you can tell us how they actually answered.
The bulk of the audience, and I would say typically between 70 to 80% of the audiences were not in favor of government shutdowns. And I was fairly clear in our town halls that I'm not a big fan of government shutdowns. You know, there were some vocal folks in each of our meetings that wanted government shutdowns. They were willing to go that far to stop Obamacare, and where I can understand that, and that's where we actually are today. Government shutdowns are not nice, neat, tidy packages, and you don't know some of the potential directions it could go and some of the disruptions that it could cause. So I haven't been a big fan of them, but unfortunately that's where we are at this particular time. And I will say, you've heard it said, every time you hear somebody from the administration get up or you hear Harry Reid get up, they call it the Republican shutdown. I think I've illustrated to you we've got about 9 votes that show that we were always in favor of fully funding the government. This is not a Republican shutdown. This is a shutdown because Harry Reid or the president or somebody has got something to try to show the Republicans. If you listen to what they've done and their rhetoric, they've called us arsonist, anarchist, excuse me, al-Qaeda, extremist, extortionist, terrorist. They said we've got bombs strapped to our chest. To me, when I was growing up, I was always taught, if you're calling somebody names, that means you don't have anything meaningful to say. And what we're trying to do is get the president and Harry Reid to sit down and have a meaningful discussion with us about how to deal with these issues. Thanks, Christina.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have a question from Alan Reed, Eagle Newspaper.
Hey, Alan, how are you?
Hey, Congressman. Have you been able to get a handle yet on the number of people that are furloughed in your district?
No, sir, but we're still working on it. I think I mentioned to you, was it yesterday or the day before, that the part of the government that tracks that, that gives us that information, is unfortunately furloughed. So we have another backup source. And I'm hopeful to get that information. Unfortunately, they're inundated, as you can expect. A lot of agencies are working on what I call smaller staffs than normal. So I'm not sure. I don't have an answer for you, but I will. We know that you're on our list of people to call as soon as we get that answer.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from Bruce Geetson, KXXV-TV, Waco.
Hi, Bruce. How are you?
Hi, Congressman Flores. Thanks for taking the time to do this. I have a two-part question for you. One is, do you see any signs of, to be optimistic that this is not going to be a, you know, a longer argument, disagreement? And then the second part is that President Obama played the Social Security card today and threw that out there. I'd like to have your comments on that.
Okay. Bruce, unfortunately, I don't see any signs of a thaw. During our Texas luncheon today, we had both our senators come over, and we had our members of the House, and our senator said that Harry Reid is really, really angry. He doesn't like these micro CRs that we're doing, and so he's tending to try to dig his heels in. You heard him say something yesterday that was particularly egregious when he found out we're going to pass a CR to fund the National Institute of Health, particularly so we could keep cancer research for kids. And he said, and he was asked if he would support that, and he said, why should I? Or why would I do something like that? So I think it shows you that we still have an impasse at this point. Our senior leadership from Congress, Nancy Pelosi, John Boehner, McConnell, and also Harry Reid went to the White House yesterday, and I think they walked out without any indication that there was going to be a deal. The president apparently stood up and told the Republicans, I'm not going to negotiate. That's what was reported to me. I don't have firsthand evidence, but that was reported to me. So the signs are not good. With respect to the Social Security card, I think that is a very unfortunate choice of words for him to say that. Social Security benefits are funded by mandatory spending. They go out come heck or high water. The only way that the president could withhold, let me say this, the only way that Social Security payments could be withheld are if two things happen. One is the president decides to withhold them, and number two, he takes the staff away that generates the payments that actually go out the door. So that is very unfortunate. The president also said something yesterday during an interview that was equally disturbing, and that is he said some Republicans want the U.S. to default on its debt. He's trying to raise the specter of the upcoming discussions on the debt ceiling, and he said that we want to default on our debt, and that is absolutely untrue. There is no Republican that wants to default on our federal debt, and no Republican has said anything of that nature. So thanks, Bruce.
Thank you, Congressman.
Our next question will come from Matthew LeBlanc, KAGS-TV.
Hi, Matthew. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you for holding this with us today.
Yes, sir.
Now that we're a few days into it, have you noticed any change from your constituents in the kind of feedback that you're getting about this?
Yes, Matthew, we have. On Monday before the and by the way, I apologize for the way my voice sounds. We have I'm still struggling with the after effects of the flu. But yes, sir, we have seen changes in the way our constituents have responded. On Monday, prior to the shutdown, they were highly in favor of holding the line to try to stop Obamacare, and including shutting the government down, if that's what it took. I keep trying to walk people back from the cliff on shutting the government down, and I keep telling them my goal is to fully fund the government and to do what we can to minimize the adverse impact of Obamacare. On Tuesday, after the government shutdown, the calls were about 50% supportive of the direction that we were going and about 50% in favor of opening the government up as soon as possible. Yesterday and today, the calls have shifted somewhat. We're about 60 to 70% are in favor of continuing with our strategy that we're going, again, to fully fund the government, but to make Obamacare fair for everybody. And that's been the same both of the last 2 days. And then the remainder of the audience the calls have been to open up the government. If you look at our social media, it tends to be more heavily skewed toward the side of holding the line, continuing the current strategy of funding the government, but still trying to make Obamacare fair for everybody.